Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Gang violence and political instability are two reasons more than 300,000 Haitians are living in the United States under temporary protected status. However, the status was in question this week until a judge blocked the Trump administration from ending TPS. With their protected status still in effect, many Haitians in Ohio can breathe a sigh of relief, for now. But a court battle over the issue will continue. And the temporary stay does not take away worries about immigration enforcement activity. We're looking at the Haitian community in Ohio this hour, and we'll begin our conversation with a legal perspective. Joining us now is Emily Brown, director of the Immigration Clinic at The Ohio State University Moritz College of Law. Welcome to All Sides, Emily.
Thank you for having me, Amy.
So while the extension of the temporary protected status may have people breathing that sigh of relief, how long do you think the extension will last? Do we have any idea?
Well, we don't know for sure, Amy, because the government has said it intends to appeal the decision. So we know it will eventually be going up to the Court of Appeals and then likely the Supreme Court. There is some precedent for this in that a similar thing happened with Venezuela TPS last year. And in that case, it took a couple of months. And then the Supreme Court ultimately ruled the other way and ended TPS pending the status of the litigation. So we could see a similar timeline here, but it could also take a little bit longer, or a little bit shorter.
Okay, so where are we with the Venezuela decision? What did the Supreme Court do and for that?
So essentially, the Supreme Court held that what they did was they took away the stay of the decision. And so that effectively ended TPS for many hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans.
Okay. I don't think I realized that, because it gets very confusing when it's like ending a stay, you know, that kind of language. Yeah. So are Venezuelans having to leave?
Yes, unless they've applied for other forms of relief like asylum, they no longer have the protection of temporary protected status.
So can we assume something like a country like Haiti, the Supreme Court would view it the same way, or can we never assume with the U.S. Supreme Court?
I don't think we can assume because, you know, the legal question in the case is, did Kristi Noem, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, did she adequately follow the right process of taking into account the considerations, you know, taking into account the facts on the ground in Haiti? What are the conditions in Haiti, and is it safe? Is it reasonable to end temporary protected status and say hundreds of thousands of people can return? And that's obviously a different question because it's a different country than Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know. It's possible the Supreme Court would go the other way in this case. We just really don't know.
When you look at the judge's ruling related to the Haiti case that stopped the Trump administration from ending TPS, it was a kind of a scathing ruling. Judge Anna Reyes said that Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was focusing on Haitians outside of the U.S. or ones here illegally, ignoring the Haitian TPS holders already living here legally. What did you make of this ruling? I don't know if you read all 83 pages. I didn't, but
I did, in fact. But scathing is definitely the right word, Amy. I mean, I think what it really shows is when you have an administration that has repeatedly made racist comment after comment about the hundreds of thousands of Haitians who are here, almost all of whom are gainfully employed, working to support their children, contributing to economic revitalization in their communities like Springfield and Columbus. When you have the administration repeatedly making those comments on the record in public, in writing, then it's hard not to conclude that it was a preordained outcome that they wanted to end TPS for Haiti, regardless of the conditions on the ground.
So a spokesperson for Kristi Noem called the judge an activist judge legislating from the bench, and that spokesperson said that temporary means temporary. So when Congress created TPS, was there ever an end date as a part of it?
Well, the way the TPS program works, and Congress created this program in 1990, so it's been around for quite a while. The idea is it is supposed to provide temporary status, temporary protection for people for whom it's unsafe to return home to their country. And the way that they set up the program was that every 18 months, the Secretary of Homeland Security would have to revisit to see if conditions were still unsafe, and then they could extend it. So there have been many instances where TPS was briefly designated And then it was terminated shortly thereafter because things improved, like, say, the war in Kosovo, for instance, or certain natural disasters where a country has bounced back quickly. But then there are other instances, like in Haiti, where things are getting worse, not better. And so it makes sense to continue extending it when the need is there to protect people who can't return.
What do you make of this argument from the Trump administration and many others, including Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno? He's spoken out. They keep basically saying the phrase temporary means temporary. They can't be here forever.
Right. I mean, if they look at the actual language of the law and what it is meant to do, yes, it is temporary in that it has to be revisited every 18 months. But if the conditions on the ground support that it should be extended, then that's what the Secretary of Homeland Security is supposed to do. And if Kristi Noem were acting, you know, by looking at the evidence from, you know, there's all these requirements to consult different agencies, which Judge Reyes found she didn't do. She basically just decided what she already wanted to decide. She had already been tweeting out that they wanted to get Haitians out of this country. And so she did not follow the requirements that are in the law.
Okay. So basically she needed documentation that Haiti's doing better as a country.
Correct. Yes.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about the legal status of Haitians in Ohio with Emily Brown, Ohio State University Moritz College of Law's Immigration Clinic Director. So are there other citizenship pathways for people who have TPS? Can they move from TPS to some sort of green card visa situation?
So some people that have TPS may qualify for other forms of relief that do lead to a more permanent status, because TPS does not lead to permanent status like a green card. And so what the most common pathway for most folks would be asylum. So some Haitian TPS holders have applied for asylum. If they are afraid to return to their country on the grounds that they would be persecuted on the basis of a protected trait, like their political opinion or their social group, that kind of thing. But not everybody with TPS is necessarily going to qualify for some other form of relief.
Okay. So there really is no vehicle to get from TPS easily. And I use the word easily too flippantly there, because the immigration process is not easy.
Nothing is easy.
But there's no way to go from TPS without this political asylum part.
Right. You have to qualify through some other means, usually asylum. Sometimes, you know, if you have a close family member, an immediate family member who's a U.S. citizen, sometimes you can qualify that way. But not everybody is going to have that.
What if your close family member is a child?
Because the child would have to be over 21 in order to petition for you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this idea of, because we have vague numbers. So 30,000 Haitians live in Central Ohio, about 12 to 15,000 Haitians in Springfield, 300 some thousand nationwide. They can't all, can they all apply for asylum?
No, probably not. I mean, and some of them may not know that they're eligible. It's very difficult to apply for asylum without an attorney. We have a lack of low-cost legal services for folks as well. And so many people will probably kind of slip through the cracks and not apply for asylum. And then they will be left with no status whatsoever if TPS is taken away.
Okay. And so this idea, even if they did apply for asylum, so say a fraction of all those thousands that I just mentioned are able to, and they're able to say, you know, I'm afraid to go back there. They're, you know, gangs know my name, and my life would be in danger. What does that process look like? I mean, because I know the entire immigration process is almost basically on a hold. So what happens with an asylum case?
Right. Great question. Well, first of all, the president has frozen all asylum applications being processed through the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services right now. So that's one thing. It's hard for people to apply for asylum knowing that there's right now nobody is getting any approvals. But then the other thing is just the asylum system is so backlogged. It's so overtaxed right now that people are waiting years, maybe even over a decade in order to even get an interview date or get a decision. And making matters worse, the Trump administration is now at this point routinely detaining people, even if they have a pending asylum application and are following all the rules and have, you know, followed the procedures to apply for asylum lawfully. Those people could still be subject to detention, and then they would have to basically litigate their asylum case from within immigration detention, which, as you can imagine, is very difficult.
Tell me about some ripple effects here. If TPS is eliminated for Haitians in Ohio, if it makes it to the Supreme Court and it goes the way of Venezuela, would they have to leave immediately?
Well, it. I mean, I think some people might leave immediately. Some people might try to find a third country to go to, because I don't think many people are going to be trying to return to Haiti, because most of them are here because they felt that Haiti wasn't safe for themselves and their kids. So, you know, some people may leave. Some people may stay and try to apply for other things. And some people may just stay and try to wait it out and see what happens. We really don't know.
I've heard that even though TPS was upheld for Haitians and it's in effect, the stay, all the, right. the words that I'm getting mixed up, there's still worries about immigration enforcement. There are still people afraid that ICE can still arrest them. So from a legal perspective, if the TPS, if you're Haitian and the TPS was upheld, can you be detained legally?
If you have active TPS, you cannot be detained and deported. Mm-hmm. However, there are still issues. One thing that just came out that I want to point out yesterday is that everyone that has valid TPS, their work permit is now extended, even though it has an expiration date of February 3rd, 2026. USCIS has to follow the court ruling and they have to extend those. So even though they say February 3rd on them, they will still be valid. However, the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles announced that they will not honor people's licenses, because anyone that had TPS could then get an Ohio driver's license with an expiration date of February 3rd. The BMV is treating those licenses as expired and they can't get new ones because they don't have a new document. They just have a document that is still valid, if that makes sense. So essentially, we now are putting many Haitian TPS holders in a situation where they can't even drive to work. Or if they do, they could be cited for that. So, you know, there are things that the state could be doing to make it easier on Haitians with even in this tenuous period that we're in now, this temporary period where the stay is in effect and it's not being done, which is unfortunate.
Why is the BMV doing that?
I wish I knew.
Okay.
But I do think that's an area where Governor DeWine really could step up and have the BMV change that policy, because I think that's really adversely impacting a lot of Haitians. We all know that in Columbus and Springfield, many people need to drive to get to work.
If the card that they have, the TPS card, says expires February 3rd, 2026, are they going to get a new one? Or because this is an influx court thing, they're going to just be walking around with this expired card?
They will not get a new one. They will walk around with an expired card. And they will also have, if you go to the USCIS website, you can print out the information there that says that the cards that expire February 3rd are extended. But indefinitely, right? We don't know when we don't know when the Supreme Court ruling is coming. So the employers have to still follow the law to allow those people to come to work, but the BMV is not stepping up on its end.
For how much Governor DeWine has talked about wanting to keep Haitians here and wanting he spoke out about extending the TPS status. Do you think that this is just maybe an oversight with the BMV? Do you think he'll call them?
I don't know. I hope that he knows about this and is willing to take action about it, because I agree. He has been saying the right things about extending TPS for Haiti. And I do think he cares about the Haitians in Ohio. So I would hope that he would fix this problem as well.
Yeah, that's why I'm so surprised. I mean, listeners can't see, I had a confused face because I was like, why would the BMV do that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Before we end, I want you to tell me about the immigration clinic at OSU. What do you do? What's your mission? And who are you working with?
Well, our role is to train law students who want to be future immigration lawyers or maybe practice in another field how to do immigration cases. And so we have clients that come to us that are seeking some kind of humanitarian relief. It may be asylum. It may be TPS. It may be, visas for trafficking victims and crime victims, things like that. And the students work on their cases under my supervision and guidance. Mm-hmm. Our role is just to try to help fill a little bit of the gap of how few, pro bono legal services are available to our immigrant neighbors here in Columbus.
How many active cases do you have working at any given time?
Usually somewhere around 50 to 60. Mm-hmm. Immigration cases take a very long time. And so we're not actively working on all of those at all times. But, we may be waiting for a decision in some of those cases.
I have to imagine that sometimes a student would get assigned one and then graduate. Like, they take a long time, right? So do they sometimes not even get to see the case through?
That's right. Of course, I always keep in touch and let them know, but we often have multiple teams of students working on any given case through over the years.
And I'm not sure how long you've been running the clinic, if you have enough, you know, broad knowledge to answer this question, but how long you've been in this business. Has there ever been a more turbulent time, or has it always been hard, but now seems harder?
Well, I've been an immigration lawyer for about 10 years. Undoubtedly, this is the hardest it's ever been. And I fear that it's only going to get worse because the Trump administration is showing that it's not even willing to follow the law, that it's, you know, the way that ICE is acting sort of unfettered, and, you know, the types of illegal activities that they're engaged in at this point just kind of shows that I'm not sure that we've reached the bottom yet.
Have you worked on any cases that involve someone who has been arrested by ICE here?
I have, yes. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Is it an active case, like someone who's...
Yeah, I have had clients in detention, yeah, that were detained by ICE for various reasons, yeah.
Recently?
Yeah.
Are you working with just specifically, we've had the Somali community in the news, now Haitians. Are you working with people from many different countries?
Yeah, our client base is very diverse. The majority are either from Latin America or Africa, but we also represent folks from Afghanistan, folks from other Asian countries. It's really kind of all over the world because it's reflective of the Columbus immigrant community, which is quite diverse.
And a lawyer who hasn't graduated yet, I mean, you can be a pro bono lawyer, as a student too.
They can work as long as they're working under the direction of a lawyer. So
your supervision.
So I'm the supervisor, yes.
Got it. All right. We've been speaking with Emily Brown, director of the Immigration Clinic at Ohio State University's Moritz College of Law. Thank you so much for joining us today, Emily.
Thank you, Amy.
And coming up, we're going to talk about the Haitian community in Columbus. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Temporary Protected Status, known as TPS, is a federal program that allows people from specific countries to live and work in the U.S. The countries on the TPS list have been destabilized by conflict or natural disasters. They have unstable governments and gang violence. It is through the TPS program that about 30,000 Haitians ended up calling Central Ohio home. Some have been here since 2010 after a devastating earthquake rocked Haiti. Temporary protective status for the Haitian community in Columbus was set to expire on February 3rd, but now it's been extended thanks to a last-minute ruling by a federal judge. We're talking about Ohio's Haitian communities this hour, and now we are joined by Sophia Pierre-Luce, an entrepreneur who has worked with Haitian immigrants as a community leader. She's also the former secretary of the Patriotic Movement of Conscious Haitians. That's the English translation of a French name that I'll have Sophia say for me instead. Welcome to All Sides, Sophia.
Thank you for having me.
So did you and other members of the Haitian community breathe a sigh of relief when you heard the news of the extension of TPS?
Yes, we were very relieved, but also worried because we know that this administration will definitely take it to the Supreme Court. And that's the part that we're still worried.
So it's a temporary sigh of relief, but, you know, you can't let go of the full breath, I guess, we could say. We were just talking with Emily Brown, and she was talking about how the same thing happened with Venezuela's TPS, and it went to the Supreme Court, and the TPS was ended for Venezuela. I can't compare the conditions of Venezuela and Haiti. I'm not, you know, an international scholar, but tell me about the conditions right now in Haiti. You don't have to compare to Venezuela either, but what are the conditions like that would make you say that someone should stay here?
Right now, about 1,500,000 people are living in the tents, in stadium, churches, other places, because they don't have a home. Gangs took over about 90% of the capital, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. They don't have any lack of governments, lack of, there's no security. Infrastructure, we don't have that. A lot of young girls, everyone, but I'm focusing on the young girls, mm-hmm. living under the tents in dire situations where there's no clean water. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any safety. There's no employment. There's no hospitals. It's not a condition where people should be. And that's one of the reasons why many Haitians had no choice than to flee, to come to the United States of America and other countries, just because they don't have that safety. Because imagine that you have your children and you don't know if they're going to come home. And there's no education. The education system is already done because there's no school. There's nothing. Everything is just, there's nothing in Haiti for anyone to do. So it's really horrible.
The Trump administration was arguing that Haiti has stabilized, is safer than it was before. When you hear something like that, do you think why would they think that?
My question is, if it's so stabilized, why did they ask the U.S. American to leave the country? If it is
like people from the embassy, is that what you're talking about?
Embassy and whoever, because we have U.S. citizens who goes to Haiti, and you asking them to return home because it's unsafe and it's stabilized. There's no air traffic, like there's no airplane that actually can land in Port-au-Prince. It's stabilized. I don't understand what is stabilized for him. He need to describe that for me, because America is stabilized. People can move in and out, can go anywhere they want. And in Haiti, no one can go anywhere because you are afraid of the gangs going to kidnap you, kill you, rape your children, and even burn you alive. They do that too.
Oh, my. U.S. Senator Bernie Moreno, our senator from Ohio, he's talked about the Haitian community recently. He agreed with the Trump administration, and he has been emphasizing the word temporary. Let's listen.
The temporary protective status was going to end. It was never intended to be permanent. It was always temporary. Everybody always knew the date. So we shouldn't have to surge a force in there to forcibly deport people who've known for a long time that they have to do that on their own.
What do you think when you hear someone like Senator Moreno and others focusing on that word temporary, like it's supposed to be short term?
It is temporary, yes. But it's temporary when the conditions of the country is stabilized. It's not stabilized. So it should continue to be temporary and extended for them because they don't have a country to go. And I feel like the senator is a senator of Ohio, and I'm sure he knows how much contribution the Haitian community has, how much they have contributed already to the country, to Ohio. Many Haitians who came in Springfield, in Columbus, other places in Ohio, they have been working very hard. Built businesses, went to school, homeowners. They have contributed to the country. They are not here to take from the country. Actually, they paid their taxes. They actually become professionals. They are serving the healthcare system. They have businesses who actually can create jobs. So if the senator really do care about the growth of Ohio, it should actually be on our side and say, hey, these people, they are here. They don't have a place to go. And he should have a heart of compassion.
The the date was February 3rd when the TPS was supposed to end, and it was a very last minute stay from the judge. I mean, it came in, you know, just hours before it was supposed to expire. So do you know if people were making plans to leave? Do you know of anyone in the Haitian community who was planning to leave?
Some with fear of ICE, and since the rhetoric started, already left. Some did leave, but a lot of them stayed, because you can go to Canada if you have a family member who can receive you. You can go to another country if it's possible for you to go, but you cannot go to Haiti because there's no place to go to Haiti. Many of them are still here, and they said, whatever happens, happens, because we don't have a place to go. So they are here, most of them.
If people have been here since 2010 under TPS, if they came after the earthquake that I mentioned, chances are they have quite established, right? Yes. They have quite an established life, children. And if the children were born since 2010, then those children are American citizens. Was there talk of parents with their kids? Was there talk of parents maybe leaving their kids, as the adults going somewhere else, but maybe leaving kids here? I heard a little bit about that.
We educate them about the plan B, just in case something would happen to them. But I'm Haitian, and I'm proud to be, and I know my people. If they have to go, most of them will take their children with them. Mm-hmm. They would not leave their children. However, things do happen. The plan is for them to have a power of attorney and to make sure that they have someone they trust in their family members who can actually be able to help these children to have a stable home if they are being detained.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the Haitian community in Columbus with Sophia Pierre-Luce, an entrepreneur and an advocate for the Haitian community in Ohio. We've mentioned ICE a few times. I know that we said at the beginning that there was a sigh of relief that the TPS was extended, but there is still worries about immigration enforcement. What are members of the Haitian community thinking about whether they could still be detained by ICE in this weird limbo interim period?
They are still in fear. They are happy, but still in fear, because they have seen what ICE has been doing lately, Minnesota, everywhere. So they're not really comfortable to know that, okay, I'm in the clear, even though they are not. I noticed that there's less traffic in the businesses, Haitian businesses, only because of the fear of being detained and being sent back to their country, to Haiti.
We've seen citizens of Minneapolis stepping up to help their neighbors who have been targeted by ICE. We've seen lots of protests everywhere. How have the citizens in Columbus been helping the Haitian community?
Well, I can say that the city of Columbus, I'm so happy to be part of this great city, especially under Governor Ginter. Mayor Ginter. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
And because he really cares for all immigrants. And also a lot of nonprofit organizations have been trying their best to see how they can help the community. And I've been very engaged with the faith leaders of the Haitian community and also the businesses in the community and also the members. And we are trying to find out a ways to actually attend to their needs and be able to be the support that they need in terms of transportation, food, education, and also because they need that, because they don't know they are very uncertain about what's going to happen to them.
We were talking earlier with Emily Brown from the Immigration Clinic at Ohio State, and she was saying that if you have TPS, you can apply for asylum. If you have worries about going back, if you have evidence that you would be a target, that kind of thing. Do you know of a lot of people who have tried to apply for asylum or in the process for that?
This morning, someone called me and mentioned to me that she did apply for asylum, and her 150 days is up, and then she needs to know if she can apply for her work authorization because she's unsure if she still can receive it. The uncertainty again. Mm-hmm. Many of them did apply for asylum. Many of them, like this scenario, applied and they don't know what's next mm-hmm. because of the hold on the asylum. And many of them are afraid that after applying, they will be called to go to court to meet with a judge and they will be detained. So there's a lot of worries about asylum. They want to apply. They don't want to apply. They don't know what's next because they are afraid that starting a process which can actually trigger to be detained or alert the government about them. So that's the situation right now.
So applying for asylum puts your name out there. Alert.
That's what they feel like.
I see.
And they don't know if they're going to still get their work authorizations.
You mentioned earlier that you are proud to be Haitian. So I'm guessing you feel sorry for how the country has devolved. But how long have you been in the United States?
I've been here for a while now. I came in, I was in New York. Mm-hmm. I graduated high school, graduated college in New York, and I came to Ohio. Mm-hmm. So I've been here for a while.
All right.
Yeah.
but you said you're still a proud Haitian. So tell me what you feel for your country and how it is now.
Even though I'm a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. I'm still Haitian. I feel horrible. The Haiti that I left when I came to the United States is not the same. I feel horrible about the children because I enjoyed my childhood. And right now, these children in Haiti, they don't have a childhood. They don't even know how to actually go play outside and kick up and play soccer, running around. They are living in fear and the lack of education. It's heartbreaking because without education, you cannot succeed. So my government, I'm very disturbed about the way the country, the governments in Haiti are leading the country. And also, I'm very disturbed also of the influence of the foreign policies played in my country as well.
I mentioned earlier that you're the former secretary of the Patriotic Movement and Conscious Haitians. Can you say the title in the much more beautiful French for me?
Mouvement Patriotique des Haïtiens Conscients.
See, much more beautiful. So what do grassroots organizations like that one, what do you try to accomplish? What's the main goal?
Many organizations have been part, and I'm still being part, outside of Ohio. They are fighting to rebuild Haiti, to have for Haiti to be stabilized, for people to be able to have access to clean water, to housing, and for them to, for us to actually, as diaspora, to be able to go back home. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, that they ended temporary protected status for some countries. They, even though it's not safe for them, but they can still have a place to go. Haitians, they don't have that. So that's why we are fighting different organizations to see how can we bring back stability to our country. It's not easy. It's a long fight, but we've been trying to do that.
You mentioned earlier that Mayor Ginther has been supportive. But we also talked earlier that Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has been supportive of the Haitian community. He spoke out wanting the TPS to be extended. So some lawmakers in one camp, other lawmakers in another camp. But is there anything that you wish Franklin County, Columbus could be doing to help the community even more right now? Do you have a wish list?
Yes. I know they are working on it, okay? But I know that I'm glad that they can go back to work. But housing, healthcare. This morning I have another Haitian member in the community call me. She's pregnant, and then she still have not been approved for Medicaid. So, and she's worried that she said, I'm close to deliver my baby. And I've been paying out of pocket that I don't have the money. So I hope that they can actually, I know the rhetoric out there have been saying that Haitians have been taking their food stamps and their Medicaid, which is not the case because we are not refugees. Mm-hmm. Refugees gets a lot of benefits. I'm not saying anything wrong about that, but we don't have that status to actually be able to get a lot of benefits that can actually help the community. But if they can actually have a heart of compassion and be able to help some unfortunate residents here, immigrants like Haitians, to get these healthcare system, housing, and transportation right now is really crazy because they cannot even they would not even extend their driver's license. And if they cannot go to work, how are they going to be able to pay for their rent, to pay for their mortgages, their car note, and also to move around? So all these things I think that they should look into and be a little bit more present in the community.
Yeah, the temporary protected status, TPS, involves work. So you come here to live and work. So I guess the healthcare would be tied to if you have a job that has health insurance. Is that so? So if you're here with TPS, but maybe you can't work because for whatever reason, is that what you're meaning whenever you're saying that they're having trouble getting access to Medicaid?
It all depends on the job that you do. Mm-hmm. To get actually to be qualified to be have a health insurance in your job. Mm.
Not all jobs have health insurance.
Not all jobs, yes.
I'm not new to America. Yeah.
I'm sure that some of them are fortunate enough to have a job where they can actually be covered by their job with the health insurance. But some of them, we have to acknowledge that some of them may not have that access. So they need to actually look into this also.
Yeah, so everyone's here on a TPS. They're here working. They have a job, but that doesn't guarantee that their job is providing them any benefits. Yeah.
It doesn't. And sometimes, too, the benefits that they provide for the jobs is so expensive. Mm-hmm. And then whatever they're making, if they actually take that benefit, it will actually decrease the amount of pay they bring home to cover all the other basic needs that they have.
We have been speaking with Sophia Pierre-Luce, an entrepreneur and an advocate for the Haitian community in Central Ohio. Sophia, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And coming up, we're going to talk about the Haitian community in Springfield. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. The Haitian community in Springfield has been in the news a lot over the past couple of years, probably more than you would expect for a small city in Ohio. The community first hit the news after false rumors were spread about Haitians and pets, and those rumors were amplified during a presidential campaign. And then more recently, the Trump administration tried to end the temporary protected status of Haitians in the U.S. TPS was extended after a last-minute ruling by a federal judge, but without a clear path to citizenship, many immigrants, that relief may be short-lived. To learn more about the Haitian community in Springfield and how they are feeling, we are joined by Viles Dorsenville, Executive Director of the Haitian Community Help and Support Center. Welcome back to All Sides, Viles.
Thank you for having me.
What was your reaction to TPS for Haitians being extended at the last minute? Did you breathe a sigh of relief?
Yeah, I was overjoyed to see the ruling came out in our favor. It was not a final victory, but at least it brought some type of relief to the community with all those and anxiety and fear that we've been experiencing over the last few years. So this ruling kind of give us a little bit of time to continue our preparation and to continue to develop family and individual plan, because we never know what can happen next, but at least we are still here being able to work and continue to send our kids to school and continue to go out about our businesses.
Since this came at such the last minute, I mean, the day before the TPS was supposed to end, do you know of people who were making plans to return to Haiti or had come up with a plan B or a plan C?
Basically, returning to Haiti is not an option now by the fact that Haiti is still not safe for folks to return there. I think the plan I am talking about is like just if they can give power attorney to folks in case they are being detained or deported. So I think these are the plans that I am talking about. So, but returning to Haiti is really not an option now.
The Trump administration argued that conditions in Haiti have improved, but I read a piece in the Ohio Capital Journal that you co-wrote where you said that you have family in Haiti who have told you it is not safe at all. What are they telling you about the conditions when they say that?
Yeah, when I spoke with them, they told me the condition is still not good in Haiti. I mean, it's like the country becomes worse when it comes to security. Folks cannot operate properly, and sometimes schools are not open. Even the U.S. embassy in Haiti has been operating with a reduced time or not operating at all because of the condition on the ground. And, you know, the international airport in Port-au-Prince has not been in operation for over a year now. So the hoodlums still control 90% of the capital of Haiti, Port-au-Prince. So the condition has gotten worse than the way it used to be.
Yeah. So you're saying, I mean, there's not even an airport to fly into if you were like told to go back, right?
Yeah, because most of the folks, they are living in the West. So if the airport is not in operation, I don't know how they can normally fly down there to deport folks.
In the days leading up to the expiration date for TPS, there was a lot of talk about a surge of ICE activity, especially a surge of ICE activity in Springfield. What did you and your group do to get ready for that? I mean, it didn't happen, you know, but what did you do for preparations?
I think the Haitian Super Center, in partnership with other organizations in town like G92, Springfield Neighbors United, St. Vincent de Paul, Nehemiah Foundation, and a lot of churches have mobilizing resources. I mean, they have developing many teams when it comes to transportation, legal services, shelter, food. So we've been having those teams ready to help folks who wouldn't be able to drive around, or if they are afraid to leave the house, there are people who are ready just to deliver food to their houses. So I think that the preparation mostly was about that. And there has been some training as well to see how we can stay in solidarity with our neighbors peacefully in case ICE come to town. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the time when ICE are operating, they're not respecting the law. They're saying thing or doing thing to trigger people's emotion just to escalate to violence, just to approve their behavior. But the training we had focused on de-escalation and how to stand peacefully with our neighbors in Springfield.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the Haitian community in Springfield with Viles Dorsonville, Executive Director of the Haitian Community Help and Support Center. Tell me about the community support that you've received. I know there was a large prayer service and vigil where there was a standing room only. They couldn't fit the number of people in who came. How did that make you feel?
I think it was so great to see so many people came out to support the neighbors. And it's because they know for sure that the presence of Haitians in Springfield has been great for the community. They are hard workers. They are taxpayers. They normally try to contribute and integrate the community. They do not have a communal background. And I always say to folks, the last influx of Haitians who came to Springfield, they left Springfield after the assassination of the former president Jovenel Moïse. And most of them are university professors, accountants, engineers, students who left university at second year or first year because of security reason. So I think that Springfield has been blessed to have all those high profile folks coming into their community.
I know there's about 12,000 Haitians in Springfield. If all of a sudden they could not work and they had to leave, what would happen to the city with plucking 12,000 people out of the city?
I think that economically it's going to be huge impacting the community. And I think that even The elected official, even the office of the governor, recognized that if it happens that Haitians are leaving Springfield en masse, that normally could impact the community economically, because Haitian have been working in many factories, not only in Springfield, but in Lima, in Columbus, in Findlay, in London, and Dayton, and they come with the money to Springfield. They invest in small businesses. They buy houses in Springfield. So could you imagine the impact that would have had on the community in case they are leaving?
I did hear about some instances where parents who have been here long enough to have children who were born here, so the children are American citizens, they were worried about separation. Did you talk with families about preparing for whether or not they, like, making the decision if they wanted their kids to stay, or how they wanted to do that as a family unit?
Yes, so this is one of the things that we've been doing, trying to help the parent to understand the consequence of what can happen. If they are being detained, there is possibility for them to be separated from the kids. So in this case, we advise them to develop plan. When I say developing plan, it means try to choose a trustworthy person that they know would have the guardianship of the kids in case they are being detained. So we think that we help them to understand that, because at the end of the day, it would be good for them to be proactive in case something happened.
It's very difficult to move from TPS to another type of citizenship. The only path really is toward asylum. And now it's even more difficult under the Trump administration. What do you see as a logical path forward here? Do you have a lot of people, you know, applying for asylum, or are they just waiting and seeing?
Yeah, I think this is the most difficult thing in America. There hasn't been any immigration reform that could normally give folks the right path to citizenship. I see a lot of comments sometimes when I read an article, folks are asking the question, why they are not applying for green card? Why they are not applying for citizenship? So they have been here for so long. But the reality that they do not know is that it's not an easy path for you to apply for citizenship or for green card in America. Even though you have been here for 5 years, 10 years, and you've been working, you are taxpayers, you buy houses, it's not normally easy path to a green card or citizenship. And this is the most difficult path for immigrants, not Haitian alone, but immigrants all over the United States. So asylum, most of the time, is the only option that you have. That's the way it is. And I am hoping that maybe that might be some type of immigration reform that could address this issue.
Springfield has received a lot of support from Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, but not all elected officials agree. U.S. Senator Bernie Moreno has said that TPS means temporary. He's emphasized the word temporary. And anyone with that status should prepare to return to their home country. What do you make of these differing political views from Ohio's leaders?
Basically, I'm apolitical, but what I know is that we appreciate the support of the governor for the community. I think that for the other comment from the senator, I can say that yes, it is temporary means temporary, but legally speaking, that kind of temporary protected status thing came around the table for a country whose condition is not good, and the conditions of Haiti is not good. So as long as Haiti still like this, I think that the temporary protected status would have been still relevant for Haitian being here in the U.S. So I would normally ask them to go a little bit deeper to see the condition on the ground in Haiti, how unsafe it is for folks to return there right now.
What do you want people to know who are listening to this and thinking about the Haitian community in Central Ohio and in Springfield? What do you want them to know about how everyone's feeling right now? You know, the sigh of relief versus the still worried.
Yeah, I think we cannot give ourselves the luxury of living as if it is a normal time, because, you know, that most of the time, the federal government is not working in partnership with the local or state government. we are still preparing in case ICE agents are coming to town. So we are still preparing. We are still mobilizing. We are, yes, it's a little bit relieved now after the ruling, but we are still preparing for any potential ICE coming to town.
We have been speaking with Viles Dorsonville, Executive Director of the Haitian Community Help and Support Center. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I want to say thanks to the All Sides staff, producers Marcus Charleston and Aaron Esmont Rabinowitz, our student producers Izahuk, Colin Simpson, and Brianna Fortunate. Our student producer at Denison is Kiara Burson, and our high school student producer is Henry Allen. Video production by the Ohio Channel, board operation by Chris Johnston and Cameron Howard. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Gurevich.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.